What is up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, November 13th. Yeah, Friday the freaking 13th. We get it. How is that still a thing? Anyway, it's a football Friday, man. It's a football Friday. We got a lot to talk about on today's show, breaking down the remaining games on this slate. Before I do, of course, I want to tell you about our presenting sponsor, Monkey Knife Fight. Do you like to play daily fantasy sports? Well, you need to check out MonkeyKnifeFight.com. You do. MonkeyKnifeFight.com is the fastest growing daily fantasy site in the world because MonkeyKnifeFight.com is different than the other daily fantasy sites. Period. That's because on MonkeyKnifeFight.com, there are no salary caps and you don't have to play against sharks. That means anyone has a chance of winning, even you. MonkeyKnifeFight.com has tons of fun daily contests in all the sports you love. Baseball, basketball, hockey, golf, UFC, NASCAR, WNBA, esports, and football. Monkey Knife Fight has it all. And you know what else? MonkeyKnifeFight.com has a free $5 game for you just for singing up. Yes, it still says singing on my copy. Just for signing up. And if you use the promo code RANT, you'll have your first deposit matched instantly up to $50. With a name like MonkeyKnifeFight.com, you can be pretty certain you know what you're going to be getting when you sing up to play. Monkeys and knives and fights and sports. Sing up and play today. Sign up at MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Play to MKF and win. State and age restrictions apply. See site for full terms and restrictions. And I kid, but I do love me some Monkey Knife Fight because I love me some player props, and that's similar to what their game is. If you like that, you're going to like Monkey Knife Fight. Use that promo code RANT, and that'll hook us up. It'll hook you up. It'll hook Monkey Knife Fight up. It's a win-win-win, all right? There we go. All right, let's dive into the matchups for this week. We'll start with the Houston and Cleveland game. All eyes are going to be on David Johnson. I'll tell you this. David Johnson did not practice on Friday, so I do not think that David Johnson is going to play. I also do not think it is safe to simply assume that Duke Johnson is now a three-down back. That's not his MO, man. That is not how coaches view him in the NFL. I think there's a distinct possibility that we see CJ Procise. I wish I knew how to quit you, CJ. Called up from the practice squad, he'll take, you know, a handful of touches, but it's still a handful of touches off of Duke's plate. I think Duke is more of a flex option in this one because I really don't think that David Johnson goes. I'm still awaiting news on Nick Chubb. I mean, he's not activated from the injured reserve list. He has practiced, but just because you're practiced doesn't mean that you're going to play. And I think a lot of people are just simply like, oh, he's back. No, he isn't back yet. I mean, he could be. He really could be. But if he's not, obviously we are smashing Kareem Hunt in this one because it's a great mashup for him. So be careful there if you have Nick Chubb. You can't just set it and forget it for sure. Beyond that, I look at Baker Mayfield, and it's a reasonably good matchup. Houston is the number five fantasy matchup for quarterbacks. They've allowed at least two passing scores in 5 of 8 games, 304 passing yards to Jake Luton last week, but it is still the Cleveland Browns offense, so that means that any game could turn into a run fest. See the Minnesota Vikings, and that is what the Browns are trying to do. Anyway, Washington and Detroit. Alex Smith does like himself some J.D. McKissick. There's no doubt about it because he's a check down guy, but it's also game script dependent. And when I look at this matchup and I see Detroit as the number one fantasy matchup for opposing running backs, 5.1 yards per carry, 1.3 rushing scores per game, to me, that doesn't sound like a J.D. McKissick game. It sounds like an Antonio Gibson game. So I like Gibson as an RB2 this week. I think in PPR, you could potentially flex out McKissick because there aren't a ton of options outside of Terry McLaurin in that offense, but that's kind of where I am with that. On the other side, I know people are frustrated with DeAndre Swift, but one thing that I've preached for so long is that we need to look at what's happening on the field before we look at the fantasy numbers. And that's actually my process, by the way. I will first and foremost just really be making notes on what I'm seeing on a Sunday. And I don't see the point of sitting there and just staring at my fantasy scores and my DFS scores. So I actually don't even have those up. I might take a peek here or there, but generally speaking, it doesn't really matter to me because, you know, it's out of your control. Like, you can't do anything to control it after the fact, after the game start. So I really want to see what's going on with the players. And I've continued to be impressed by DeAndre Swift. Of course, he got shut down by the Colts. But other than that, pretty solid. And, you know, he was just a little bit away, you know, a couple inches away from a touchdown where everybody would have shut up, right? So really, the fantasy numbers can lie. But what you see on the field is not going to lie, right? So, and then also 16 touches for him, 11 for Peterson, 7 for Kerryon Johnson last week. Swift's still an RB2. It's a tough matchup. Washington's a good defense. Fifth fewest fantasy points per game to opposing running backs, but I still like Swift as an RB2. Jacksonville, Green Bay, DJ Chark, of course, benefiting from Jake Luton, and it does not look like Jair Alexander is going to play, just to update from yesterday. So that's better for Chark in this one. Jair is really all they have on the defensive side of the ball. So he's fine as a wide receiver too. Love me some James Robinson in this one. Number two fantasy matchup, the Packers allowing a league high 1.4 rushing scores per game. And that, of course, to running backs specifically. So yeah, James Robinson, giddy freaking up. Hey, Aaron, you know that. Aaron Rodgers is an every week start, but I love this matchup. 8.5 yards per passing attempts with the Jags are allowing, only the Pats allowing more. So he's an elite play. Elite this week. Aaron Jones as well. 20 touches last week, and another one where I don't care what the fantasy stats say. He looked fine, and he got 20 touches. So that's really good here, especially against a Jags defense that allows a rushing score per game to opposing running backs. Philly. The Giants, always potential for fireworks in these games. Miles Sanders will be back. He's good to go. I mean, the Giants are actually pretty good against the run, but they're still the number 8 matchup for running backs in PPR. 6.4 receptions allowed per game to running backs. I like Carson Wentz a lot in this one. In week 7, he put up a really nice line. You know, he actually rushed for a score in that one. And he's a little bit healthier now with his receiver weapons. So I think he's going to go, man. He's a top 10 play for me. Devonta Freeman was put on injured reserve. So Wayne Gallman's going to get the run for a little while here. He's scored in 3 straight games. I mean, this is not a good matchup. The Eagles' run defense, 3.4 yards per carry to opposing backs, but I mean, he's going to see the volume, and that's all that really matters there. So he's at least a flex option. Daniel Jones was pretty good in that matchup as well in week 7. There was some kind of tripwire the Phillies had at the 20-yard line. That was like the longest trip in history. Like, I mean, to be fair, I guess he was just losing his balance, which is something all professional athletes should do. But he started the trip at the 20-yard line and completed the trip at like the 8-yard line. So, I mean, other than that, though, he was still pretty solid. I'm going to have to use him in a 2 quarterback league where I have, it's a keeper league where I have Mahomes. So I'm going to use Dimes this week. Going to use him because I have to. Tampa, Carolina. The run game for Tampa, we know they have a really good matchup. Carolina is still not good against the run. Fifth best matchup, 4.5 yards per carry allowed to opposing running backs. So I prefer Fournette to Ronald Jones. I think they're both RB2s, though. I would not start them both. I would not do that. If I own both of them, Ronald Jones is riding the pine. I think it's just too volatile. I mentioned this against the Carolina Panthers with the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And I said I would not start Le'Veon Bell and Clyde Edwards-Helaire because if Mahomes goes off, then they're probably not getting in on that. And that correlation really screws both of them. And then you take a lump at 2 spots instead of just 1. And that happened. Prophetic Jeff Stradamus right there. I mean, it isn't, you know, it isn't brain surgery to figure that one out. That was a potential outcome. And it's a potential outcome here. What if Brady goes off? What if it's a big Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown day, and now you started both of these guys because it was a quote-unquote good matchup, and now you're screwed. So only start one of them if you have them. It's so volatile to do that in season-long fantasy football to start multiple guys in the same backfield. McCaffrey is officially out. And so that means Mike Davis, baby. It's a brutal matchup on the ground, 2.96 yards per carry to opposing backfields. But the beauty to Davis is he may not be efficient. Like, it may be one of those, like, 12 carry, 40 rushing yard days. But what if he has 6 catches for 50 yards? Like, all of a sudden, he goes from being a pretty crappy fantasy running back, and that's even without scoring, to basically an RB1, like a top 10 guy. So I still like Mike Davis a lot. And by the way, in DFS, what is he going to be owned? Like 60%, 70% owned? Like, I mean, you're not getting an edge if you play him. But then again, I don't really have a huge issue with playing him. Denver and the Raiders. The Denver backfield's a pain in the ass. Phillip Lindsay is at least not on the injury report, so that's good. Melvin Gordon's so lackluster. It's not necessarily a bad matchup, though. It's a number four fantasy matchup, man. Opposing running backs have been crushing this defense. 4.7 yards per carry, 1.1 rushing scores per game against Vegas. So here's how I'm approaching it. Melvin Gordon is a back-end RB2. Phillip Lindsay is somebody who should be on your bench. I actually like Drew Lock this week, too, because he's trending up. It's a little volatile because he's still Drew Lock, but I think he's in the streamer conversation. Like, he's not a premium streamer. The two premium streamers this week are Wentz and Jared Goff, if they're out there. But after that, you have this like group of, well, Derek Carr on the other side, Drew Lock, Tua Tagovailoa. So a bunch of really interesting streamers. So let's talk about Derek Carr as a streamer. Denver is a number eight fantasy matchup for quarterbacks. I like that. They've allowed three passing scores in each of the last two games. I like that. I don't like that he doesn't throw to his wide receivers, but he does have Darren Waller, so I like that. So three checks in the pro, one check in the con column. I don't mind Derek Carr. I have him at 13 right now. Josh Jacobs is going to be just fine here as well. Even though this matchup's tough, the Broncos, the eighth worst matchup, but it's the volume. That's the reason why you're playing Jacobs. That's all. It's all about the volume, baby. All about the volume. Chargers, Dolphins, oh my God, look at all of these running backs, and none of them are startable. Troy Pope is questionable, but looks like he'll get through the concussion protocol. Joshua Kelly outsnapped Kalen Ballage last week, but Kalen Ballage outtouched and outperformed Joshua Kelly. Joshua Kelly is not ownable right now, and I am a running back hoarder. I have a problem. I hoard running backs in November and December, and I don't want Joshua Kelly. I straight up dropped him in a league where I need more running backs. So do I like any of these guys? No, honestly, because I don't have the cipher here. I can't figure out what this code is. It could be Ballage this week. It could be Pope. It could be freaking Kelly for all that all that I know. I don't want a piece of it. Even though it's a great matchup, Miami allowing 4.6 yards per carry to opposing running backs, I don't like it. On the other side, same thing. Here's the snaps from last week. Savon Ahmed, 28. Malcolm Perry, who's more of a receiving option, 23. Jordan Howard, 21. Patrick Laird, 12. This week, add Matt Breida to the mix. Add DeAndre Washington to the mix. Ahmed may not be active. We don't know about Perry as well. I'm assuming Jordan Howard will be active. I'm assuming Laird will be active. But it's a mess. I don't want any piece of it. It's a good matchup. Chargers are one of four teams allowing over 5 yards per carry. I don't want any piece of it. I did mention I do like Tagovailoa. Chargers are the number seven matchup for opposing quarterbacks, averaging two scores allowed per game through the air. So Tagovailoa is a streamer option. Buffalo, Arizona. I mean, you know you're starting pretty much who you're starting here, but let's talk about the backfields. It's really like running back week on the show. But Zach Moss, Devin Singletary first. Last week, 11 touches for Moss, 5 for Singletary. Moss seems to be pulling ahead, but that could change. But the big number, and this is the more consistent number, over the last 3 weeks, 16 red zone carries for Moss, 5 for Singletary. That, to me, is the key. I have Moss as a front-end RB3, like a fringe RB2. He's at 25 in my rankings. You could flex him out. I don't really want to flex Singletary. It's a little too risky for me. On the other side, Kenyon Drake is a game-time decision. So if he plays, Chase Edmonds goes back to flex at best. And Drake would really likely be, he'd be an RB, back in RB2, because he'd see all of the workload. Buffalo's allowed a rushing score in all but one game to a running back. So it is a good matchup there for whoever is in the backfield. So we just have to keep an eye on that. You're not safe if you have Chase Edmonds right now. On to Seattle and the Rams. The Seattle backfield's also a mess. Doesn't look like Carson or Hyde will go, but you are not safe with DJ Dallas. Last week, Travis Homer, 31 snaps, Dallas, 20, Alex Collins, 13. not safe with DJ Dallas. I think Travis Homer ends up being the lead back. It's not a good matchup against the Rams, though, so do not get cute here. This is a mess that I would prefer to avoid. On the other side, I think we actually are safe with Daryl Henderson. He looks like he's going to be good to go. Malcolm Brown will be the two, and yeah, Cam Akers is the in case of emergency break glass. It's a tough matchup. Seattle 3.56 yards per carry to opposing backs. Jared Goff attempting 61 passing attempts. 61! Are you kidding me? 61 last week. And you know what? He's going to be throwing a lot this week because the Seahawks are seeing 45.9 passing attempts thrown into their coverage per game. So, yeah. San Francisco, New Orleans. Raheem Mostert won't be back. Tevin Coleman doesn't look like he'll play. Jerick McKinnon could get another heavy workload. 15 touches against Green Bay. It's not the best matchup, but I am a sucker for volume. He's a RB2 this week against this New Orleans Saints defense. And don't trust Jordan Reed. He only played 13 snaps last week, so he's really volatile. As for the other side, I mean, pretty much straightforward, right? You're going to play Michael Thomas no matter what. I think Drew Brees is sort of more of a QB2 this week, but you may have to use him, and I think that's fine. And then Alvin Kamara, it's a tough matchup, but who the frick cares, right? It doesn't really matter. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, James Conner, he disappeared last week, but this is another great matchup, so I'm going to go back to the well. The Bengals allowing 5.4 yards per carry to opposing backs. We'll keep an eye on Ben. No news is good news with Ben, so I do think he'll be back. I am not certain Joe Mixon is going to play. In fact, I don't think he does. He's doubtful, so that means he's probably not going to play. What have we seen out of Giovanni Bernard when Mixon doesn't play? Really good production. In weeks 7 and 8, only two running backs over those 2 weeks had more fantasy points than Gio. Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara. So yeah, pretty good production. Steelers are a tough matchup. I don't care. Giovanni Bernard will be a front-end RB2. Hopefully, if you have Mixon, you didn't drop Bernard in the bye week. Baltimore, New England. Doesn't look like Mark Ingram is going to play after a midweek downgrade. So I think it'll be J.K. Dobbins again in the lead, but Gus Edwards seeing plenty of work as well. The Patriots defense has allowed 5 rushing scores to running backs over the last 3 weeks. Like, what is happening in 2020? So giddy up, both Dobbins and Edwards. Let's hope that this is the week where Dobbins gets some of the red zone work, not Edwards. Please. Thank you. 8.7 yards per passing attempt is what the Patriots are allowing as well. This is crazy. Lamar Jackson says the opposing defenses know what play he's running before he runs it. But I don't know if they'll be able to defend it anyway. On the other side, I cannot trust a single Patriot in my starting lineups. Bad matchup for Jacoby Myers. Bad situation with this three-headed monster backfield, and Cam Newton is very risky against the Ravens. Rounding it out with Minnesota and Chicago, Dalvin Cook's amazing, and how amazing he's been has actually been detrimental to the passing game because they're just going to run the freaking football. So Adam Thielen, with the limited volume in the passing game, is sliding back to a wide receiver 2. Justin Jefferson, more of a wide receiver 3 this week and potentially going forward. And then we're going to keep an eye on David Montgomery. So he didn't practice on Thursday. Just taking a peek. I don't have a Friday practice report just yet. If he gets to limited, then he'll be progressing through the concussion protocol. If he doesn't, I'll start to get a little bit worried about him not playing this week. So if you see DNP on Friday, what I think will happen is not Cordero Patterson, but rather Ryan Nall carrying a bulk of the workload for the Chicago Bears. I won't go as far as like picking him up just yet. It's not a bad matchup, I will say that. But we'll address that as we come to it. If you have David Montgomery, be prepared. That's all I'm saying. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. Enjoy the football this weekend, and a couple cool things going on right now over at FTN. So FTNFantasy.com, we reduced the price with a little special for you here. It runs, if you subscribe today, it runs through the Super Bowl. So you get it until the beginning of February. It's $20 though. So to help you for your playoff push, to help you for your postseason fantasy leagues, not bad. Limited investment. Then you can see what we have to offer too and see if you want to, be with us in the future with the FTN fam. We also have NBA, now an early bird special for NBA DFS and NBA bets at FTNDaily.com and FTNBets.com. It's $175 for the season. I know it sounds like a lot, but then when you break it down, it's actually $1 a day for the NBA season. So it's actually pretty darn reasonable compared to some of the other prices you're going to see out there. Another thing, too, is if you actually get in on that or if you buy any of these subscriptions to FTN Daily or FTN Bets, you're going to be entered in to win a PlayStation 5. I have no freaking clue how we got this thing, but we have it. We have one. That's all we were able to get. And we're giving that bad boy, that sun gun, away. All right? So that's how you check out my Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe, and I tweeted out details last night. So just go to my feed, scroll down a little bit. You'll see the details. It's pretty simple. You can also still use the promo code MASTERS for 20% off. A promo code like no other. Keep on reviewing the show on Apple. All you have to do if you have an iPhone is open up the Apple Podcast app. Go to my podcast, The Rant, with Jeff Ratcliffe, and scroll down and click the stars. Keep reviewing it. I appreciate all the reviews because we got to 1,000 so darn quickly. We're still planning this darn celebration where we're going to do a little giveaway as well. Oh, did I just spoil a little bit of it? There you go. More details on that coming up soon. We're planning, I swear. It's too many darn things to do during the NFL season, baby. It's a good problem to have. But I appreciate everybody reviewing it. If you haven't already, that's a great way to help out the show. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Use the hashtag RatPack. That way I know you're a listener of the show. And I'm going to be back on the flip side of the weekend for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.